Thank you for joining us today for Women Accessing Capital Training 134. I'm Anna Kate Calais, Program Specialist for Women Impacting Public Policy. As a brief background, Women Impacting Public Policy launched Women Accessing Capital to help secure money needed to grow your business. We provide resources and information, including a full range of webinar training sessions designed to help break down barriers between women and money. Before we begin, I have just a few notes. We are recording this presentation, including the question and answer segment, and will make the podcast and training materials available on Women Accessing Capital website. During the first portion of this webinar, the presentation, we will mute the line so that only our speaker will be heard. While you are listening, please also put your phone on mute, especially if you are on a cell phone or speakerphone. Please do not put your phone on hold. If you need to step away, please hang up and call back. For better viewing, I recommend entering full screen mode. To do this, select the full screen button on the upper right-hand corner of your presentation box. If you have any questions for our instructor, please feel free to send your question immediately through the chat function, which is also on the right side of your screen. You can open the chat box by selecting View Chat. You will also be able to ask your question during the question and answer segment at the end of the training. And now on to the program. Today's training session will provide you with an overview of how to uncover the ins and outs of mission-driven lenders, what they are, who offers them, where do you find these lenders, what kind of capital they can offer, and is this a good option for my business? I'm pleased to introduce today's course instructor, Connie Evans. Connie is a visionary leader, astute strategist, activist, and social entrepreneur. Connie is currently the President and Chief Operating Officer at the Association for Enterprise Opportunity, the National Trade Association for U.S. Micro-Enterprise. In 1986, she was the founding president and the award-winning Women's Self-Employment Project, the first and largest urban micro-enterprise development organization in the U.S., and the first adaptation of the Grameen Bank model to the U.S. urban setting. Connie also pioneered one of the first match savings programs, individual development accounts in the country. In 2000, she founded WSEP Ventures, a small enterprise hybrid organization developed to serve as a catalyst for social change, economic development, and community empowerment. At WSEP Ventures, Evans launched Capital Bridge C3, the fellowship program supporting emerging social entrepreneurs. And in 2007, Evans founded C Solutions Consulting, an advisory boutique specializing in solutions that address social change. An international development consultant with over 25 years' experience, she has been recognized and utilized by such groups as World Bank, the Clinton Administration, a host of local government, and private and independent sector organizations. With international experience spanning 43 countries, Connie draws on her expertise in developing and implementing strategies to further economic development, health, and social change in communities. Connie, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Anna Kate. Good morning, I guess, or good afternoon, depending on where you are in the country. I'm delighted to join WIP today and your members to talk about how women business owners can access additional capital. The landscape of community development lending for small business is our topic for today. And WIP, as you know, is one of AEO's partners and the voice for women in business in our nation's capital, where we, AEO, are also located. This program, of course, is designed to educate women business owners on how to secure the money that will support and grow their business. AEO works around the country to make capital and other resources available. And again, it's our pleasure to be a part of this series. Our goal today, and hopefully by attending this particular course, you will learn the landscape of the community development lending market, the scope of microenterprise development organizations, as well as other types of community development lenders, and of course, how to access loans and services from this, what we think is a growing and robust crop of community-based lenders. Mission-driven lenders are a critical source of business capital for women, and it's often overlooked because most of them are nonprofit lenders. They are called by a variety of names, including mission-driven, community development financial institutions, a variety of names. But the key is that community development lenders are mission-driven lenders who provide access to capital for underserved and low-wealth markets. And when we're talking about underserved individuals or underserved businesses, we're talking about those businesses that may not have access or availability to capital and other business services that they need based on a variety of issues. Those issues, in many cases, relate to them to the wealth or the lack of wealth, such as collateral, equity, wealth. Banks and other financial institutions might look for. So you're underserved because you don't have that. Many minorities or people of color get classified as underserved because they, too, may not have access or these funds, such as capital and services, may not be available to them. Underserved could be because of you are disabled or you are a veteran, or even you might be in a rural community that, again, doesn't have access or the availability to access or availability to actually be able to secure the kind of financing that's needed. So mission-driven lenders really provide another opportunity to pluck at that tree of money and capital that's needed to support a growing or starting business. There are a number of types of community development or mission-driven lenders engaged in small business lending. Many of the mission-driven lenders also do housing. A lot of them focus exclusively on housing or facilities. But I'm going to point out the ones, of course, today that we're talking about around small business lending. So first, there are microenterprise loan funds. And I'll go into more description on what a microenterprise is and what those loan funds look like. But just in general, those are nonprofit, unregulated funds that are around and exist in every single state of the country. There are community development banks. One of the most probably famous community development banks went through a number of changes last year, called the South Shore Bank in Chicago. But there are other community development banks around the country. Community development banks are banks. They look like any other bank, but they do have a special mandate to provide development finance in the community. They are driven by their mission to actually get capital to small businesses in local communities. And so, again, you can find them in generally urban areas, and I'll give you later a listing of where you can find them in your particular city or where they exist. Now, most people have heard of credit unions. I'm not sure if everyone has heard of a community development credit union. Excuse me. Community development credit unions are exactly what they sound like. They are a credit union specifically chartered to provide resources directly into the community for its development, particularly its economic development in this case. Oftentimes you will find that community development credit unions may not actually advertise business loans, but they will still make a loan that you can use for your business. And that just has to do with, again, how some community development credit unions are chartered. But they are still a good source of business financing for some capital needs. Then there are community development loan funds. Community Development Loan Funds are one of the more expansive types of community development lenders that we have engaged in business lending. Because, and I say expansive because you will find just as these types of community development lenders represent a range and a continuum of lending, the community development loan funds might offer a variety of lending all in their one organization. They might do microloans. They may do lending for business, lending for housing, lending to developers who are developing community-based ventures. If you're looking for, if you're starting not only a business, but let's say you're engaged with a nonprofit that's starting a business, a community development loan fund is also available to provide that kind of lending. So again, it's a loan fund that's set up for a variety and pretty broad expansion of community development in their communities. And then there are community development venture capital funds. Just like you would look for a venture capital lending for your business in terms of looking at equity and someone to get past your debt need. You're no longer, you know, interested, or your business is not in a position where you can carry more debt, and you're now interested in securing equity investors. So a community development venture capital fund is going to work in a very similar way to your mainstream venture capital fund, except their conditions will be different. Again, these are mission-focused lenders. So with the VC, the venture capital fund in the community development industry, they're going to have lower requirements in terms of what the terms. So instead of looking for a 55% return, which might be typical at a VC, it's not unusual to find a community development venture capital fund that may be willing to take 18 to 22% return. So again, a big difference in terms of the terms. They are also looking at, again, not only from a financial return, but a return in terms of what we might call social capital. And what's the social return on their investment in your business? How many jobs will you create with their financing? How will you improve the environment or the community at large? So they're going to look at other issues in terms of return and have a lower financial return requirement. CDFIs, these community development financial institutions, serve small business owners who are typically underserved by banks. So it could be a startup, an emerging company. We know how difficult it is for startups to actually find capital. They're typically having to look to families or credit card financing. But again, you can turn to some of the lenders that I just mentioned, and they are more inclined, and actually some are specifically developed to support and finance startup and emerging companies. They're also looking to work with individuals who have, as I mentioned, low levels of equity, personal equity to bring to the business, limited collateral to bring to the business. You may have damaged credit. Again, these organizations, these financial institutions and lenders recognize the situation that many, particularly women, have gone through. Oftentimes they're credit is damaged due to divorce and other issues that have gotten out of control. But it doesn't mean that you're not bankable or creditworthy. And so even with damaged credit, community development lenders are inclined to still provide you with the capital you need. And, of course, people, women who are inexperienced in developing business plans. You have a great idea. You've even demonstrated sales and productivity, but you just don't have your business plan together and not really experienced at having to develop one. These CDFIs, these lenders, not only will open their arms to help you, but they will also help you in terms of developing that business plan. So it's very common that any of these lenders have a variety of services to support the pre-application stage, the application stage, as well as the post-loan stage for the business owner. Now, these community lenders represent a continuum of credit because, again, no one loan product fits all women business owners. And so, in general, you will find that that whole continuum of lenders that I just mentioned might make loans ranging from $500, as low as $500, up to $150,000. Now, it's very possible to even go beyond the $150,000. Some will make a loan in the greater six figures, some in seven or even the eight-figure range to a business perhaps looking to expand their physical facilities. As I mentioned, it wouldn't be unheard of a community development loan fund making a multi-million dollar investment in a business and a community where that business owner really is talking about creating some facility that has a community development purpose or that's going to create significant jobs and they need to expand their physical facilities. So again, the continuum exists across the range of amounts that a business owner would need. Again, these CDFIs represent and exist in every single state in our country, and they're not all in rural areas. In urban areas. They also exist in rural communities where they want to promote economic development. That continuum of credit also means that they are financing a variety of needs, everything from working capital to fixed assets to, as I indicated, physical facilities. They are also willing to capitalize businesses at all stages of the business. And, again, across industries and sectors, so even now, you will find some of the products, the loan products through some of these institutions being targeted, for example, for a green loan. And so maybe you're interested in getting into the potential opportunity that we hear the green industry, the green market will provide us. And so being able to actually go to a lender specializing in green loans, that's a possibility through these community development lenders. But again, not all of them are going to focus on green. Not all of them will require any particular industry focus. That is the beauty of the community development field. Most of the lenders in this marketplace are prepared to work with business owners across all industry sectors. These community lenders really differ from banks and other traditional financial institutions. CDFIs emphasize relationship-based lending, and so they're going to look beyond the typical quantitative factors such as your credit score. You know, most banks now use a system that pretty much is automated. When you're sitting down at the bank, you filled out information that's pretty much giving them access to all of your background, and they're running numbers through a system, and the person that you're actually talking to at the bank has never seen that information. They just get a report back that pretty much says yes or no. It's a turn down or it's an approval. And it's based on some quantitative things, not having much to do with who you are as a person, as a business owner, your aspirations, et cetera. It's based on quantitative factors, and that's it. Well, you won't find that in the community development mission-driven lenders. Of course, they're going to look at the quantitative information, but they really are going to try to spend some time and get to know who you are, get to know what's happening in your business, and really try working on developing a relationship. They may have you come back and talk with them several times so they get a better sense and you get a better sense of what they're doing and begin that relationship building process. Oftentimes we talk about the importance of the C's, and it's not just collateral and credit, it's also character. And so the community-based lenders really take character seriously and want to get to know you and build that relationship that lasts over a period of time. I think one of the other things that makes community development financial institutions, mission-based lenders different is that piece talking about having a relationship over time. Often, it is a loan. Your loan actually might be structured so that it's a smaller, short-term loan than maybe what you went in for. Let's say you're thinking you need $100,000 and you want to get $100,000. Well, that lender, if you're new to that lender, may suggest and find ways and talk with you and work with you in your business needs and see if there's an opportunity to start at a smaller level of capital, and then take that infusion, work, see how you pay that off, see how you run your business, and as that relationship grows, be very willing to extend you the second, a third, and on, and so on. And so if they don't see it as just a single transaction, they really do take the emphasis of the relationship serious and are trying to build a relationship with you that can last over some time. I'm actually going to drop to the third bullet because I think it picks up on the whole issue of the relationship. Even though that, again, you can find capital in a growing continuum in terms of the amount among these community-based lenders, they often act as a bridge between your bank or a mainstream, some other mainstream financial institution, and you, the borrower. So again, it's taking that relationship and helping you grow your business and not trying to stifle you by any means. As you grow and your needs grow, they're there to actually help you step up to mainstream financing. Most will have relationships with banks and other mainstream financial institutions, but they can help make that graduation go much more smoothly. They can help introduce you. They can actually help bridge some of the financing. Maybe they actually package where they are doing a piece of your loan and their bank partner are doing a piece of the loan. And so, again, they become an important relationship for you, not only at the time when you think you just need that one loan, but over the life of your business to help you get to the next step, not only for your business, but for your capital needs. These lenders will also invest heavily in technical assistance to help you develop or refine your business plan or to help you strengthen your credit, help you develop financial management skills. Now, like any lender, they, of course, want to make sure that they are working with you and that they are putting the capital into your business in a way that is most likely to guarantee repayment. And so perhaps, again, you don't have the strongest business plan. They're going to work with you before they extend that loan and really give you the guidance. Some of these organizations will do it directly with people on their staff. Others have relationships with other community-based technical assistance providers that also operate in the kind of mission-driven business assistance marketplace. Helping you strengthen your credit. Some may actually offer credit counseling themselves, but more than likely they will refer you to relationships that they have with credit counseling and other kinds of service. And, of course, strong financial management skills is key, as you know, to not only managing your business, but particularly managing an influx of new capital in your business. And so that financial management technical assistance could range from workshops that they offer to one-on-one coaching. Some might offer accounting classes and a referral to particular set of accountants that they screen. So again, a variety of technical assistance services that help you prior to accessing the loan as well as throughout the life of the loan. I want to tell you a little about who we are, AEO, because I want to go into more specifically about the kinds of lenders that our organization particularly works with and who are our members. As Anna-Kate mentioned, we are the National Industry Association for Microenterprise Microfinance here in this country. I'm sure many of you have heard of microfinance, but like most Americans, they think of it as something that happens and exists in international markets, something that maybe has been associated with only the poorest of the poor. But let me assure you that it is alive and well in the U.S. and has been now for nearly 30 years. AEO and its members create opportunities for underserved entrepreneurs. In many cases, again, that's low-income and moderate-income individuals, but oftentimes it has nothing to do with income. It has to do with, again, some of those other characteristics that I talked about that makes capital and these services inaccessible or unavailable to entrepreneurs. And so that is what makes them underserved. Through our members and partners, AEO reaches nearly 1 million entrepreneurs across the country. So we are very well versed on the needs of entrepreneurs, particularly women entrepreneurs. Our member organizations serving entrepreneurs around the country, of their customer base, about 60% are women business owners who are being serviced. But let's talk about the microenterprise landscape and what we mean by microenterprise and microfinance. Microenterprise is defined as a business with five or fewer employees. When we're talking about a microloan, we're generally talking about a loan that's less than $50,000. But you should know that nearly half of AEO members make loans above $100,000, $150,000. We even have members who make loans in the $200,000 range. So even though we're defining it, again, if you look at the SBA, the Small Business Administration, has a microloan program, and that definition is, as I just mentioned, five or fewer employees who can use capital of $50,000 or less. But we know, and you know, in terms of it doesn't probably make a difference if you're five employees or you're, you know, seven to nine employees. That pretty much ends up being about the same. So we tend to often talk about microenterprise being up to nine employees, and again, with capital needs probably up to at least 100. Now, what you may not be aware of is that nearly 90% of businesses in the U.S. are microenterprises, 88% to be exact, of all businesses in this country are microenterprises. That's nearly 9 out of 10 businesses. And so oftentimes people think microenterprise is just a small thing that someone's doing as a hobby. No, it's not. It is 88% of all businesses. And that represents more than 25 million companies in this country. 21% of the U.S. population is employed by a microenterprise, which is more than 32 million people. So, again, over 21% of all private sector employment is through a microenterprise. So these businesses are really key to the economic engine of our country, and I wouldn't be surprised that if the business owners on the line fit this definition of micro business. Again, I think we often get either confused or hung up about how we describe or what we call these businesses. But, you know, whether we call them Main Street businesses, micro businesses, micro enterprise, we are indeed talking about the fabric of our country and the majority of all the businesses in this country. In fact, AEO recently released a report a study that said if one in three micro businesses hired just one employee, the U.S. would be at full employment. Now, we every day are sitting and listening to our pundits here on the news and our political leaders talk about what they're going to do to solve jobs. Well, we want them to talk about that. They find themselves talking about a whole lot of other stuff that's really not as important as job creation through small business. Yet, if we can mobilize the will of people, particularly our politicians, but we don't have to wait for politicians. If we can mobilize these resources that I just laid out from the community development financial lenders tied to all of the opportunities of business owners to and aspiring business owners to grow their businesses, to hire just one employee, that would bring us to full employment. I mean, those are the kinds of local small business Main Street solutions that we think are important to promote and to help clearly women business owners to seize these opportunities and to fulfill this promise of and the power of micro business. We know that capital is important, but that's why I was also able to talk to you about the technical assistance that's provided, because capital is usually just one piece of what's needed. I should mention that within the micro lending community, even though, as I said, the loans are span from as low as $500 to over $150,000, maybe in some cases $200,000, the average loan size, just from an industry point of view, it's probably somewhere between $9,000 and $10,000. But again, you have to think about the expansiveness of the industry and, again, the ability and the interest of our industry, meaning micro business, micro enterprise industry, to build that relationship, to start you maybe with a loan that's not as big, not at the 50, but help you grow into larger loans along the way. We are launching a campaign to really support businesses that's called the 1 in 3 campaign, and you can get more information about that campaign at www.aeoworks.org. If you go to that website, www.aeoworks.org, you can also find a listing of members who you can begin to talk to in terms of accessing capital. You can identify by location, by geography, and find the lender that's closest to you. There's also another site that I want to mention before we turn it over to questions, and that is the Community Development Financial Institutions Fund website. Community Development Financial Institutions, as I indicated, are mission-driven lenders. But the CDFI world, as it's called, is also a designation for funding from the Department of Treasury, the U.S. Department of Treasury. Because these lenders that I just introduced you to are oftentimes, and more often than not, nonprofit lenders, it means that they seek their sources of capital and other funding from a variety of places. Many banks provide the capital that these institutions are going to lend to you. Government agencies also provide financing to these CDFIs, if you will. And so if you're looking for a community development bank, if you're looking for a community development credit union or any of the community development financial institutions that I've discussed, you can also go to www.cdfi.gov. Again, it is the CDFI fund at the Treasury Department. And you can find a listing of all the CDFIs in the country based on geography. Of course, you can also go to the SBA website, www.sba.gov, and click under their microloan program, and you can find a listing of all of the microlenders in the country, again, based on geography. And those would be the key resources, AEO, CDFI, and SBA. All three of those websites could lead you to a variety of lenders across the country. Then just lastly, just to give you the other broader sense of our work here at AEO, again, because we are a partner with WIP, it's not unusual that we would be a policy partner. Part of our work in being the national voice of U.S. microenterprise means that we, too, have a legislative agenda that we work to address the policies and programs that affect underserved entrepreneurs and aspiring entrepreneurs. We have a voice initiative that is based on getting the word out and building awareness of micro business, the power of these Main Street businesses. As I indicated, if one in three of these Main Street businesses just hired one additional employee, the country would be at full employment. And so we want to make sure that the voices around that one in three are heard. And, of course, we have a digital strategy to support the work of the industry and to get the message out. Growth and capacity building, we just had our annual conference here in Washington, D.C. at the beginning of May. We provide a variety of member services, and we do a number of industry-wide initiatives that might lead to development of infrastructure that can support getting capital to places right now where it doesn't exist, looking to create new technology that can help many of these lenders that we've discussed to actually reach more people, reach more businesses, and make their own business much more efficient and productive. We try to broaden the investment in the industry and across the industry by bringing new players, new actors, new investors into this industry of microfinance. And, of course, data collection is so key. We promote research and new solutions and advance new frameworks that are based on data. I often tell a comment of one of who I say is one of my favorite politicians, which is Mayor Bloomberg of New York. And in a speech, I heard him say, "In God we trust, but everybody else bring data." And we think that's become one of my favorite sayings because as a businesswoman, I'm sure all of you know how important data is to your decision-making for your company, and clearly it's important to us as an industry. We need data. Often that data has to come from you, business owners out here, to make the case for further investments or policies and programs at the national and state level. I should mention in closing that as we talk about policies and federal programs that support these community-based lenders, we should also mention, of course, that there are state programs that support community development lenders, state government programs that help provide the financing and support of these institutions. So, again, whether we're talking about the local level, the state level, or the federal level, these community-based lenders, these mission-driven lenders, are embedded in your communities and are being supported by all ranges of governments and by all types of investors. And so I really encourage you to look to them as a source as we start plucking that the dollars, the green from the trees. Don't forget these mission-driven lenders may just need to be added to your arsenal of resources for your companies. And so I am happy now to pause and hopefully take questions.
Thank you, Connie. Before we get started with the questions, I'd like to invite everyone to please submit your questions into the public chat, which I mentioned before is located in the upper right side of your screen. So I'm going to give you a second to do that, and we actually can start off with the first question that we had entered earlier from Abby. Is the preparation to secure a loan more difficult with the CDFI than with a traditional lender?
Not at all, Abby, and that's a great question. The preparation, I would think it may be similar. Again, they're going to look for the same information. They want to see your plan. If you are a new business, they want to see how you're projecting how the funds are going to come in, what your plans are for the business. If you're an existing business, they want to see what you've done in the past in terms of financially and managing and operating your business. But what the difference, I think, is if you are not confident in that material and that information, you don't have to not go. They will actually help you put that together. So even though some of the information may be the same that they're looking for, they will also provide you with assistance in developing that information and sitting down. I hate to say holding your hand, but in most cases, that's what it is. They will hold your hand and guide you in helping to put that package of information together.
All right, thank you. The next question is from Lucy. If I were to go to a CDFI, what would I need to have with me for an initial meeting?
Lucy, I think what would be important is to take anything you have as a business plan. If you don't have a business plan, being able to go to them with what you think your needs are, being able to talk about how much capital to define your business and your goals. They want to hear what your aspirations and goals and make those goals clear. They want to hear what type of capital. Is it for working capital? Is it to buy fixed assets? Are you thinking you want capital because what you need is to pay off old debt? Now, I'm not suggesting that that is always going to be the case, that they allow that, but some might. Again, they are looking for you to present the picture of what your needs are and what loans you're looking for and where that loan is going to take you. What do you anticipate being the result of now having this new capital? They want to hear that kind of information from you, and then anything you have in writing, any documentation, any data to back up any of those things, what you said has happened before, what you think is going to happen, your assumptions and why you believe it to be so. They want to have that kind of data and documentation, but again, it's about the relationship. Don't forget, we said that one of the key things here is about the relationship building part of these community development lenders. So they want to really talk to you. They want to get to know you. They want to hear your aspirations. They want to hear your challenges, your successes. And again, it's important to talk about what you're doing for the community. Now, I'm not saying you're not a nonprofit, so I'm not suggesting that all of a sudden you got to be about charity. I'm suggesting that these are lenders who are interested in building up their communities. And so job creation, how your business provides opportunities for jobs or opportunities for products for the local community that are missing now, or are bringing new products and services to a community where the need is great, and you can point that out. So it's helping them meet their mission. They are mission-based lenders. So you want to, when you go online to read about them and get to know them, you want to also understand their mission and talk about how your business is going to help them meet their mission by making this loan to you. So that's another key piece, the relationship and their mission, and how do you help them meet their mission by making you that loan.
All right. The next question is from G. Williams. If I have a good business credit but a damaged personal credit, will that be a deterrent for getting a business loan?
Not necessarily. Because all of these organizations are independent, I can't tell you that there is one standard criteria, credit criteria, underwriting criteria that goes across the board. So where someone may see your damaged credit, and again, they want to hear the story behind it, they want to hear what you're doing about it, you know, they want to hear the story. They will listen to that story and what your business is doing, and they'll make those determinations, again, on a combination of issues. They will not just look at your personal credit score and make that determination. That is one of the key differences in community development lenders. Now, having said that, you know, when the economy got worse, and banks pretty much, you know, shut down their lending to small businesses, the community-based lenders got more demand, so because people were pushed out and they had nowhere else to go. Some of them also wanted to make sure that their loan quality remained high and that they didn't process more losses. So some have tightened their credit underwriting. But even in those cases, they are still much more lenient than any bank you would go to. So please do not be deterred from talking to these community-based lenders just because you may have personal credit that has been damaged. That is why they are there. They recognize these issues, and 9.5 times out of 10, they are all going to be willing to work with you and try to see what can they do to really make this loan work.
All right, and I think we have one last question that's also from Lucy. Do I need to bring credit reports as well, or is that something that they can pull for me?
Most of these lenders will pull your credit report for you. If you have it, it can't hurt taking it, but you shouldn't feel the need that you have to pull it to go to one. If you have it, again, it's another data point for you to have to start that conversation with them. But if you don't have it, they will pull your credit report for you.
All right, perfect. Well, it looks like we can wrap it up for today. Thank you, Connie. Your presentation was outstanding. And thank you, everybody, for joining us and participating on this call. I hope that everyone found this information helpful. If you have any more questions, you can see Connie's contact information up on your screen, or you can email it to me at akallay@wip.org. This call will be posted on the program website, womenaccessingcapital.com. Under the Resources tab, please also check your womenaccessingcapital.com to register for upcoming training sessions. Also, your feedback is very important to us. Please take a moment and share your thoughts on the brief feedback survey that will accompany the presentation link sent via email. Women Accessing Capital is part of a larger program series from WIP, Women, Money, and Opportunity, which brings resources and wealth of knowledge from experts within WIP community to educate women business owners. WIP is a nonprofit, nonpartisan public policy organization representing your interests in Washington, D.C. If you would like more information on WIP, please let me know. Thank you again, Connie, and thank you, everyone, for joining us on this webinar today.